episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Hi folks, this is Alan What's-His-Name. On February the, I just checked my old dusty calendar folks, the 18th of February 2025, and you're listening to Rick talking to himself, be told. Thank you, Mr. Alan What's-His-Name. That's the first introduction we've had on the Be Told shows from Mr. Alan What's-His-Name. I used to do Alan What's-His-Name when Alan Watt was alive. It's just one of those things you do, and sadly, he's not around anymore. Sadly, he's not around anymore, but I did the next best thing. I've been talking to his ex-wife on the Real History show. So the show before this on the Be Told is that one, which I thought went really well, as I said that on the intro to the show. Now, I did a show yesterday, a fantastic show by myself. For probably about well over an hour, going through books, reading from this, saying funny things off the top of my head. I can't remember any of what I said. And this is why I'm one of the only shows I'm a keen listener to is the ones that I appear on, because I can't remember anything I say the day before, because I just go off the top of my head. And that's what Alan Watt's Cutting Through the Matrix original shows were. I'd say most of them were total off the top of his head. He just had a pile of books to read and he'd just go off on a tangent. And that's what I like doing, and I like to keep that kind of talkbacky type thing that you get, meandering conversation, until you get a guy like Rollo popping into the room, blind drunk, like he did yesterday, unannounced, unwanted, probably the story of his birth, shouldn't say that, and he turned up, and I thought I was muting him. And what I didn't realize is he was still talking away. So there's me. I just couldn't hear him talking. And there's me reading from these books about interesting things from Plan Deception by Constance E. Cumby, which I will read about. And I'm going to try and do as best as I can to recap what I talked about yesterday. When I found out that he'd done that, he came back in a second time. He said, "Oh, you know, I was talking over you." And I said, "No, you weren't. I was muted." And then suddenly the horror dawned on me. Had he been there the whole time? And yes, he had. Joel had a listen, and he said, yeah, it was not as bad the first time, and the second time he came back and singing and dancing and carrying on. Now, it sounds funny to people, but I'm telling you, if you've ever gone on and done a show by yourself with no special effects other than your own voice, no idea of what you're going to talk about, just a general flow, and you get a flow going and you go for 60, 70 minutes and you find out that the whole lot's ruined, I tell you what, he's lucky I wasn't armed yesterday. I'll just save that one. But what I have done is I've thrown him off the server. Hopefully none of the moderators there will allow him back on there until I forgive him. And that could be a week, it could be a month, it could be a year, Rollo, if you're listening, and I hope you're not. What a thing to do. Now, he's done this to the girls. I know he does this to the girls on, was it Coast to Coast, CTC, on Wednesdays? He's definitely done. He turns up and he just ruins the conversation. He's done it to the shows on Saturday nights, I know. He's fine with me for whatever. And then he just loses it and he wants to talk and annoy people. He's out to stir up trouble. He is trolling 100%. And unfortunately, he trolled me yesterday. And oh, just a word of advice, not a very smart thing to do, Rollo. Not a very smart thing to do, because I really am genuinely annoyed about that. And not some people might find it hilarious. You know, listeners to a show like that would say, oh, isn't it funny? I'd taken 3 weeks to get myself together to be able to just sit there and feel like doing that. And when I did it and I lost the lot, it's still out. I mean, Joel, please don't release that. It would really do my head in. It might be funny to some people. It wasn't funny to me, though. Let me just tell you quietly. But, yeah, so Be Told normally should be just me chatting away and going in whatever different direction for around an hour. You're listening to Be Told, 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 Told,
Told. No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
The art of condensation, as we say on probably not for a while to come back again, the Rick and Rollo show on Saturday night. The art of condensation. Thank you, Joel, for that wonderful voiceover. The bumper. I like the bumpers. They actually give me time to gather my wits and open another beer up. I'm back drinking again. I had 2 weeks of non-drinking. I lost 5 kilos. I don't know if that was to do with the alcohol or the fact that it was I wasn't eating as much at night time. Do I feel better for it? Did I? Well, today I was driving home from work. My middle child, working with me. We mowed a lawn, cleaned a mansion, did some gardening. Productive day. And I was coming home, pulling around the corner, and this woman, old woman, of course, comes cutting across from a shop to get onto the same lane I was on. Could she? I don't think she could see me, and she would have. Luckily, I accelerated in front of her and tooted, and she must have suddenly realised she was about to ram me in the side. And that put my cortisol levels through the roof afterwards. I went to the gym and I started feeling more stressed. Last time I did a show on a Be Told show, I'd had what I thought it was a heart attack coming on, and it was basically a cortisol reduced panic attack from my adrenal glands being all over the place. And that was a Monday, 3 weeks to a month ago, maybe. Or was not. And this is just the minutes before I did the, or was it after I did the show with Melissa? It was afterwards, that same day. So whenever I recorded that, I had serious issues. Anyway, so getting nearly, you know, totaled by a car. Now, if I've been on a motorbike, and that's why I always tell people on motorbikes, you've got to be fucking really, really careful on these roads. Is it the vaccines? Is it the whatever? What's causing all these lunatics around? There seems to be something weird going down. Now, I know you can't talk about it, or they don't like talking about it on some shows, but I'm telling you, they've been doing some very strange spraying up here again. Big, big, big suckers too, big fat lines. And funny directions, not in the normal directions that your airplane should normally be going in. Interesting, extremely high. And the sky was, it's not the blue that it should be. It's a milky white blue. It's definitely been, something's going down. Is that causing people to go a bit mental? I reckon it could be. I think it could be. Prove me wrong. IPS? Prove me wrong. Oh, I listened to a fantastic thing that he brought up the other day. See, I always tell people you've got to listen to that show because you get stuff out of it. And at 3 a.m, whenever it was I was listening to, he brought up something very, very interesting about the breath that's put into Gollum. And we were talking about this on the Dave J show three weeks ago, Gollum. This is made out of clay, the artificial man, the artificial intelligence or whatever. Now, interesting you tie artificial intelligence and a golem together, because he was saying the creator puts the breath into the golem itself. And he said, what are we doing with these black scrying mirrors that we're all walking around with. Me doing it right now with a 5G one in my hand. Me doing it right now with a 5G one. Total hypocrite. Total hypocrite. And that's really interesting subject. What are we doing? And don't tell me, I'm telling you now, I've had more than many occasions where the smartphone has given me an advert or a YouTube or something on something I was merely thinking about that I'd never expressed any desire to talk about. It might have been a hip injuries or something or other I'd thought about. Maybe I've got a hip because my hip had been bad for a while. Next thing you know, I hadn't mentioned it to anyone. I was getting targeted hip injury videos. How is this so? Are we creating our own golem of the artificial? Are we breathing and talking our breath into these things? Now, I don't know whether he came up with this, or I think he mentioned that he'd seen it somewhere. Now, I don't care where he got it from. He put it into my head, and I'll be keeping on with this one. There's a there, there. That's my favorite saying. One of my many, many quotable quotes. Be told, there, there. The winner is Sydney. And speaking of Sydney, I've got to go there tomorrow. Is it tomorrow or the next day? The next day. So I'm at home in the beautiful, green, sunny, lush mid-north coast of Australia. No snow to be seen, and my goodness gracious me, Aberato slash Tim slash Fakeologist, he sent some photos of what he's going down in Canada, and oh, dearie, dearie me. I know where I'm glad to be, quietly. It's in here. It's in here. I'm sorry, it's my library I was just talking about. It's here. I'm looking out my back window to beautiful, lush, green, but previously blue sky, now dodgy, but still bluish. But the green is greener than the green is the green stone of Galveston, more bluer than the blue stone of Galveston. That's a paraphrasing from that funny comedy show. Black Adder, the first episodes. Yes, just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And I could have gone for a swim. I didn't. There's a girl at the gym today. She goes, you should go for a swim. I was just telling about the car crash. She goes, that'll relax you. And I said I should because it's the water's absolutely beautiful. I'm going to do that tomorrow. I'll lower myself and just balance. Just crouch down or go deep enough so that the sharks can't get me. Actually, I would be under the area where the sharks can get me, so never mind. But I'll be definitely submerging myself under the water for some time tomorrow to bring my et cetera down, et cetera, et cetera. Now, the book I was reading from yesterday, which I've had for 40 years, it came out 40 years ago, actually, 85. So I would have had it, say, for 30 years. I pick it up every now and then. Occasionally I take it on. It's been well-thumbed, let's just say that. Let's have a look. Yeah, 1985, Constance E. Cumby, Library of Congress catalogue, et cetera. The excerpts from the Aquarian Conspiracy, Personal and Social Transformation in the 1980s, et cetera, et cetera. She's coming out fighting and exposing this New Age agenda, and that's what I spoke about predominantly last night on the show that got ruined by Rollo. I think this episode 18, or was it 17? 17 or 18, whatever. Now, she's a Christian. She's a lawyer. But then this book, Planned Deception, it's absolutely full of stuff of what we need to be knowing right now. Literally full of stuff. Some of the more early chapters is the new, I mean, I've watched this in real time. I've been, around for a long time. And, I was 16 in 1980. You know, when you're 16, you kind of become a little bit more aware of things. I never got into politics at all. I never had the first idea about politics till probably 15, 20 years ago. I've always known it's just fake. Always known. I don't care about left, right, Labor, Liberal, Democrat, Republican. I've no concept of what they mean. Yeah, I kind of do now because I looked into it a bit more. But just to say this, I've watched the New Age movement creep up, and it started, say, in New Zealand. I was bringing up this last night. I do remember this. New Zealand's have been always a test case for the world. It's got a, it's a very small population. When I grew up, it was probably about 2.5 to 3 million in total, in Toto. Was that something to do? Why did Toto get, was Toto Toto in Wizard of Oz? There you go. There's a question there. So the, basically, the, all of a sudden the rainbow imagery came out. You'd see that with Rainbow Warrior, the Greenpeace movement used the rainbow. Alternative, the hippies, there's always rainbows everywhere. It started creeping in. Now, there is a rainbow guild to the Masons, the Rainbow Lodge. Has that got something to do with it? I think I've gone into that before. And this is the other thing. This is why I was annoyed. I was just talking off the top of my head and just jumping from subject to subject, but I have put so much information in my head since I started reading Fox and Socks in 1969. I started getting the concept of words and putting them together when I first started school. And drinking beer with ice, very nice. I have been reading Fox and Socks, UFO books, ghost books, Dr. Seuss, obviously, great books. Lots of colours, and there's a lot of stuff in Dr. Seuss. I think we should do that on the Bongversation at some stage. So I've been watching this and kind of seeing the imagery big time, and none more so than today, right now, in the winners, Sydney, is the rainbow. And it's that LGBTQRSTUWXYZ one, which is not really a rainbow. It's got how many colours now? They keep adding more and more to them, but it's going to be everywhere because it's the Mardi Gras, the gay Sydney LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ, etc. Mardi Gras. And it's got bigger and bigger and bigger. And now it's completely normalised to see just churches running rainbow flags. I kid you not. I took photos of it last year. I'll be in Sydney on Friday roaming around, and I'll probably take some photos because it will be rainbow central. The whole place is decked up, and it's very Luciferian, I'll just say that. And that's what brings into this book the planned deception by the staging of a New Age Messiah by Constance E. Cumby, author of The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. So that's why we're talking about rainbows. Now, she quotes from a book that she's got hold of that came out in 1982. This is a response to this book. And I highly recommend, and I know someone out there ordered it recently. Was it Arthur or Martha, or was it Resmat Jeff, one of the two good researchers out there? Or was it Johnny's List? Another one. One of them had bought this book. Now, I've had it, and I've been perusing it. I've read chapters and put it down. I've never read it from cover to cover, though. But I have gone through and I've put stars over pages and italics and a little, you know, you notice that your quotation marks are 66, upside down sixes, because they're there. And I've got lots of them all the way through. Now, this is from a book by Peter Le Mesurier. Peter Le Mesurier, just like John Mesurier, Le Mesurier from Dad's Army, from 1982. And this is very important, and this is why I was so fucking annoyed that Rollo fucked that show up yesterday. Here we go. Quotation from Peter Le Mesurier. Their script is now written, subject only to last-minute editing and stage directions. The stage itself, albeit as yet in darkness, is almost ready. Down in the pit, the subterranean orchestra is already tuning up. The last-minute walk-on parts are even now being filled. Most of the main actors, one suspects, have already taken up their roles. Soon it will be time for them to come on stage, ready for the curtain to rise. From this chapter, the time for action will have come, from Armageddon script by Peter Le Mesurier. Now, it says here, this is Constance writing, one could easily think the above paragraph come from a Hal Lindsey book warning Christians of the evil that is to come. Incredibly, such is not the case. The above quote is a summation of the Armageddon script by Peter Le Mesurier, a noted pyramidologist and occultist. It's a how-to manual for new ages and intellectuals interested in staging a simulated second coming of Christ. The script they write is, if successfully staged, could deceive even the very elect. That's a quotation mark from the Bible. Now, those people who have been listening to IPS and, you know, Tim Osman, pseudonym, and here is talking about the Metascript, the Metascript that they're using. Here they are saying this. It's a script. They've got actors ready to go. The pit, where they're getting their tuning fork from is a guy holding a tuning fork down below with a cloven hoof and pointy horns on top of his head. Does he really look like that? I don't think so. I think that was just a made-up to demonize him. Pardon the pun. Pardon the pun. And I was saying this yesterday, do you remember that the problem is they've used New Zealand and Australia to test a lot of their stuff. They have. And it's acknowledged. And I was reading, also after I finished reading about this book, I was reading Barry R. Smith's The Better Nostradamus and Warning books. He was New Zealand's leading warning you about the coming of the Antichrist, etc., Christian back in the 70s and 80s. And he passed away, I think, about 10, 15 years ago. He was wrong a lot. He kept saying, I'd be 1980, folks, 1980, 1985. Oh, sorry, I was wrong, 1990, 1995, 2000, 2001, 2010. And it hasn't happened. But right now, I'm telling you, I've been around waiting for this for a long time, and I can see things are definitely, the orchestra pit has definitely warmed up. And we've been watching actors, crisis actors, politicians, which are actors. Now, just remember, how many of your politicians have an IMDb? Guess what? Most of them. I doubt if Australia's imbecile, Anthony Imbecile Albanese, has got an actor. That guy couldn't act his way out of a wet paper bag. But I tell you why they've picked on New Zealand and Australia, because they're very easygoing. And Barry Smith writes in his book, he said, they would never do it to Ireland. They would never do it, not Ireland. He said, never do it to Greece. They never did it to Italy. They wouldn't do it to, a number of other countries that are too canny and ready to spot this. But New Zealand and Australia have this she'll be right mentality. And it's so true. You know, she'll be right. You know, and the Australians, you know, he's got horns on his head and a tail and cloven hoof, but he's probably a good bloke. Give him a chance, mate. You know, give him a go. Give him a go. That's exactly what has happened in the way that they are. Too easygoing. And I'm of the, you know, I've been here for 40 years and I was in New Zealand for 20 of those, so 60 years all up. So I know both of them quite well. And that's totally true. There's a lot of awake people around, and those awake people get pillared and called conspiracy theorists. And that's why I said on the show I did with Melissa, I'm a proud conspiracy theorist, because I am. I wear it as a badge of honour, absolute badge of honour. Now, I've drawn a line for this. There's another quote here. It says, the theories behind the Armageddon script will seem familiar to those who've studied psychological theories. Many laymen, too, have heard of Jungian archetypes. Now, I was talking about that on the Melissa Watt show. So Constance Cumby could easily run over here and hit me over the head with her broomstick, or, you know, not a broomstick, her, what would she be carrying, something more Christian, a Bible. Because I didn't really shout her out as being where I got this from. I honestly can't remember where I'd got the fact that I think Jung, and I am saying without any evidence, Constance has a bit here by the look of it, that Jung and, you know, that whole lineage from Freud downwards through his grandson and his nephew, the advertising man, his name will obey me for a moment, and whose grandson is now in charge of Netflix, where you're getting all the best shows, and Apple TV. And I will talk about Severance after this, because I've been talking about Severance a lot, and I will bring that up. But this is really important to try and get hold of this Peter LeMessurier book and Constance's fight back on this book, because Jungian archetypes, briefly stated, the belief is that humanity has unfulfilled prophecy or Jungian archetypes cluttering up its collective psyche. Now, that's the other important thing to understand. the collective psyche. We are all connected, whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not. There's a really weird, and they know it. They know it, them, whoever them is, the people that understand Jungian archetypes and are using it as a weapon against us. Guaranteed. And that's, you know, you'll know you've had it, will have had experience maybe before these smartphones started actually sucking your information out of you somehow. But, you know, back in the old days when you had your old dial tone phone. I wonder if the last song that I played last, Be Told, previous, was had an old phone dial, and I only wanted it played because of that phone dial, because a lot of young people have probably never heard one before. And Joel, the consummate professional, had edited that part out, thinking it wasn't part of the song. I didn't ask him to, so it was all my fault. He may have corrected it, so if you listen to the... You're listening to Be Told, 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 Told.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation
or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
The art of conversation, and that's that was Sarah introducing that one. Sarah, I might be meeting them soon this month. I certainly met Joel a number of times. I know Joel, but I haven't met little Sarah before. Apparently she's diminutive. I told Rilo she was actually only 3.5 feet tall and she had to wear special shoes to get in and out of cars. He believed me. It was just one of those things I said to him, and he literally does believe most things I say to him. But he's, why would he come in and fuck a show up like he did yesterday? Alcohol. Turns him into a little demon. He's definitely possessed. Frank's wife thought that. Literally. Now, I've been on about Jung because of Jung was, you know, how did I find out? It was someone who does a really good show had talked about how Jung's close friendship with the Dulles brothers, Alan and Adolf, whatever his name was, the brothers Dulles. They were so close, they lived next door to each other at one stage because they brought Jung all the way over to help break this. This is their, what they said. And if you listen to the show I did with Melissa, this is what I brought up. They said that we brought Jung in to help crack the, you know, find out the German psyche and how to crack it. Now, what I believe is that what they meant is you are the Germans. You, free thinkers, are their enemy. And everything that Jung was there working on, and he was guaranteed we'd have had, what's his name, Bernays, with him as well, working away with think tanks. And the biggest one would have been, of course, the Macy conferences, something you cannot find out unless you go and listen to some old shows by, I think Alan Watt talked about it, Macy conferences, Hans Utter, really good. No, this is, keep saying I want to talk to him. One day I'll get around to it, and I will get around to it. He knows all about it, but he says that when he goes to re-look up his old links and all of the research that he did, it's all gone. It's all gone down the Wayback Machine. The Wayback Machine, down the truth hole or whatever it's called, the thing on that Winston works at, the memory hole. So this is what's going on. And I also, you know, it's like that archetypical thing I was talking about, the D.B. Cooper. Now, there's 100%. There's no way that story, you know, maybe they could have reenacted something and had real witnesses, but I'd say the whole lot was made up. But a week after I'd shared all this, you know, screenshots of the Wikipedia about the thing, saying 42 people on the plane all up and the, you know, there was 42 this and something, there was another 42 and DB, 42. All of a sudden, blow me down, it had changed to 39 on one of the Wikipedias I looked. So they are, and I'm telling you now, it's another one of my regular saying, that they're using Facebook, Fakeologists, they're using IPS, they used Hoaxbusters Call and all the other hard-hitting media fakery, and there's not many, not many. And they are at, you know, that, you know, the military, what are they, what's their number? They should be called 33 Squadron, but they're not. They do the digital research. They are looking at this stuff, and companies like Black Cube and things like that, there'd be banks of computers going through, looking at what these people are finding. And all of a sudden they go, we've got to put damage control here because there are people waking up. And then, you know, quick release the flying monkeys, you know, to cause consternation and look over there, look over there. This is a fact. There's no doubt about it. And if you look at this book, she's saying they're ready to do all this. And this is the planned deception. They are ready to go here. And so she also brings up, you know, she goes right through the Bible, all the revelation things. And what she's saying is that, I'll finish this very important part of this book, page 8. They further believe that a prophecy once uttered, that's right, the word that's in the Bible. The word is, means the vibration. So it's you say it, you create it. Dave Jay. The prophecy once uttered takes on a life of its own. They believe that the prophecy is essentially self-fulfilling. The prophetic life is called an archetypical image or an archetype. When humanity or a significant segments of it await such fulfillment, it impedes human progress in other areas. Therefore, they say, we owe it to ourselves and to humanity as a whole to take steps to exorcise, that's exorcise, like the exorcist, or remove these prophecies hanging over us like a sword of Damocles, ready to wreak mischief at any time. The Measurer suggests detailed steps for a script-type fulfillment to serve as a lightning rod against the fulfillment of another less convenient, at another less convenient time. Now, I'm telling you now, there's obviously an awful lot in this Le Measurer's book that people that have woken up and understand this meta script, you know, the stuff that's, you know, we're watching news stories repeat themselves after one another time. You know, they're saying the same old story is being used. And I liked, again, IPS the other night. Someone sent a quote, and it's the truth, you know, it's instead of the one, the Mark Twain one, whereas truth doesn't repeat, it rhymes. No, truth doesn't rhyme, it repeats. It literally, they keep repeating, sorry, history, not truth. History doesn't repeat, it rhymes. No, in reality, history doesn't rhyme. It actually does repeat. And they're using, I mean, there's no bigger example than the JFK Lincoln synchronicities. And I've read them out before. It's too much to, you know, I'll just read a few of them. Anyone that hasn't heard these before, this is proof of scripting, literal proof of scripting. So where am I going through the big book of conspiracies? Highly recommend this book, although it does have a lot of, you know, rubbish in it, but it's just beautifully done with the best artists, underground artists back in the day, all drawing. And remember that famous saying, a picture tells 1,000 words? Well, you can do a whole show on an animation like this with just 4 pages of a good cartoon, you know, with 8, 9 squares full of with cartoons inside them. You can get all sorts out. And I think someone should be doing, we need to find a great comic book artist and do new stuff on the, do the 9/11, do 3/11, do 6/11. Now, I'm bringing these numbers up. They're going to feature heavily in, listen to the latest episode of Bongversations that Dave's just put out on BitChute and YouTube. We're not on Truth Meets anymore, sadly, which would have been better because for my part, I like to listen to things on a podcast. So we're talking about scripting here. So this is your history. You've got synchronicity. You've got two men separated by a century, both bound together across time itself. Both men had 7-letter names, Lincoln, Kennedy. Dave Joe, number seven. They celebrated debates were instrumental in their respective political fortunes, Lincoln-Douglas debates, Kennedy-Nixon debates. One man was elected in 1860, the other man was elected in 1960. One said free the slaves, the other one said integrate the schools. They were both deeply committed to the civil rights for blacks, and both were vilified for their efforts. Each was reluctantly mired in a supremely divisive war, Civil War and Vietnam. Both had premonitions about their own deaths. Can you believe this? Lincoln ignored advice of his secretary, Miss Kennedy, who said, don't go to the Ford Theatre. While Kennedy paid no attention to his secretary, whose name was Lincoln, who said, please don't go to Texas. Now, I mean, Lincoln was assassinated in the Ford Theatre, while Kennedy was assassinated while driving a Lincoln limousine manufactured by the Ford Motor Company. Both presidents were despised by the South, and they were accused of assassins with both Southerners. Both presidents were shot in the head on a Friday. Really? On a Friday, that was the same day. Did no one back then come up with this and say, hang on a minute? While seated next to their horrified wives, both accused assassins had 15 letter names. That's number 6. John Wilkes Booth, Lee Harvey Oswald, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 15 named letters. Each accused assassin was himself quickly murdered, therefore avoiding a messy trial. Now, that's, if you listen to, fantastic, one of my favourite shows these days, the Visigoth show, he has some really good stuff on the fact that the actor that played, he was an actor, and he's related to the Powers Booth as well, who's a fantastic actor, who was in one of my favourite movies, violent shoot-up movies back in the day. What was it called? It'll pop into my head. Both the births of both Oswald and Booth were separated by exactly 100 years. 1839 and 1939. And in the cartoon, it's got, congratulations, ma'am, it's a lone nut. Each assassinated president was successfully succeeded by a vice president named Johnson. Andrew was born in 1808. Lyndon was born in 1908. I mean, come on. I mean, surely historians back then, 62 years ago this year, Lincoln was the first, Lyndon was born in 1908. Lincoln was the first US president to be assassinated, Kennedy the last so far, blah, 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 blah. I mean, so this is scripting, this is where these guys are saying, everything's going to be scripted. There's going to be actors. Everyone's going to be an actor. They're ready to go. So this, again, just like that book I keep talking about, the Slow Death by Rubber Duck, and this book that was written, they're not written for you. They're written for their team of collective workers. And you just have to look at these politicians and the evil eyes they have. Oh, my goodness gracious me. So highly recommend reading this Plan Deception book and Le Measurer's book. Those of you out there who could send it to Linda Curtis, can you send that suggestion to what's his name? Tim Osman, pseudonym. Oh. Now, the other book I was talking about after I went through this one was the case book on Alternative 3. Now, speaking of media fakery, how many people know about Alternative 3? Well, I do, because I remember watching it on TV. And Jim Keith wrote this book about it. They actually played it on the BBC Science Report in 1975. Very interesting year, 1975, for political shenanigans in Australia and New Zealand. And Jim Keith actually talks about this in his other book, which is The Gemstone Files. Highly recommend it. Now, Jim Keith mysteriously died at Black Rock Burning Man. Yes, he did. Quite young. Was he 33? I don't think so. He would have been older than that. Now, these are really interesting books. So Alternative 3, So the British Science Report put this out without saying to anyone it might have been fake. So I'll read the back of the book. In 1975, the normally conservative television program Science Report broadcast the most shocking investigative story ever shown on British television. This is back in the day when you only had two TV channels in England, three. So everyone would have been watching this. The most shocking investigative story ever known on British television. An international conspiracy of monumental proportions with the codename Alternative 3. Amongst the startling allegations of Alternative 3, the rich elite of the world have initiated a secret program of space migration to escape the environmental pollution and overpopulation destroying the Earth. Pull the other one, Grandma. And our side note here, Black Sabbath's first album came out with nothing but the same stuff. We've got to leave the planet, rocket engines burning fuel so fast. Out inside the, you know, blah, 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 from the Black Sabbath Masters of Reality album. It was literally Club of Rome mantra coming out, which came out in 72. Club of Rome, Club of Rome, Club of Rome, Club of Rome, which again, I'll say it again, the Club of Rome is not the club, the private club. It's a club with a very heavy one that they smash you over the head with to get this Rome agenda through. A secret joint USA-Russian space program has established bases on the moon and Mars. Now, where have you heard that before and you're hearing it right now? But again, I swear to goodness, they're talking about moon bases and Mars bases with this Elon Musk, et cetera, et cetera. Can you believe Elon Musk really has come out of the woodwork and is actually turning up at the White House with his son, looking exactly like, you know, JFK Jr. when he turned up with his little son, Robert, what was his name? Johnny, little John Jr. Oh, and yes, he is. He's doing it right now. UFOs are actually secret government aircraft with capabilities for beyond what you are being told. Now, I still believe that. That's very, you know, being a heavy UFO researcher back in the day, I just thought these things are just government craft, you know, whether it be drones or whatever. They've just got slightly better technology than they're telling you. Top space scientists from around the world are being abducted to provide personnel for the space bases. Now, this goes into my favourite one that I brought up again, the UFO, the TV show, Gerry Anderson's UFO, Moonbase, and the direct link between Ed Straker and Stanley Kubrick. Smoking gun. Did anyone care? No. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Citizens are being kidnapped and subject to mind control to serve as slave labour at the secret space colonies. Now, this has come up again with Q before recently. So this is, again, 1975. Which was a full 50 years before to this year. And this is how they move in 50-year increments and 100-year increments, golden century. How many Chinese restaurants have you got in your town if you live in a city called Golden Century? It's not just a restaurant name. It's a thing. It's a thing. The Golden Century means they're 100-year movements. And it's probably, I would hazard a guess, the Fabian Socialists. That'd be their favourite little saying, Golden Century. And interestingly, I was talking about this last night. See, I wasted all this fucking conversation, Rollo. Thank you. But it is popping back into my head. I was talking about the Theosophists. Why was I talking about Theosophists? Because that's all through the planned deception. They are incredibly powerful. And this is, you know, Annie Besant and Madame Blavatsky. Madame Blavatsky actually a man? It looked a bit like Aleister Crowley, just quietly. Does the same facial things, which I picked up on. There's a symbol that these elitists do with their finger. They get their portrait done and they've got their finger on their chin and their eye, and it's actually making a devil's head. If you take it around and put light against it, it forms this like, it looks like a Baphomet's head. And they do this. I've seen her do it, and I've seen Aleister Crowley doing exactly the same finger pose for their portraits. Has anyone else talked about this? I bet they haven't. You're listening to the total exclusives, as far as I'm aware, on this show. Oh, I mean, I will do a whole thing on this Planned Deception book, because my goodness gracious me. So anyway, so Jim Keith, since its initial airing, the startling claims of Alternative 3 has been debated and decried as a hoax, while others claim that there was a truth in the terrifying plan and our secret rulers. Drawing on his diverse research and a wide variety of sources, Jim Keith, editor of Gemstone File and The Secrets and Suppressed, delves into this bizarre story behind Alternative 3. Interesting, says Alumni Net Press, PO Box 2808. That's 18, that's number 9, folks. Lilburn, Georgia. Now, why is the Georgia Guidestones in Georgia? And why was that song called The Devil Comes Down to Georgia by, what's his name, the old fiddle player? There's a there. You're listening to...
No matter what your age, you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
You're listening to Rick doing the repeat show after he got destroyed by someone that came on and talked over the top of him while he didn't understand last night, ruining an absolute... If you're listening to this show, you will be listening to some interesting information. I went for 70 minutes last night, as far as I'm aware, and just went off the top of my head about this stuff, and then jumped out of this and then talked about my reminiscences about all this stuff. I'll never remember any of it. I'll have to get Jellicet to send it to me so I can listen to what I said. Hopefully I'm going to bring most of it up. Just looking at this Planned Deception, if his plan, clearly part of the New Ages we'll call the plan, was executed as written, it might be enough, as Jesus said, to deceive the very elect. And that's why electricity is called, it's like electricery. There's a there. Electricery. So Jim Keith, Alternative 3, fantastic. All his other books, fantastic. Do yourself a favour, those of you out there that are able to have the gift of knowledge and the love of books, like myself. And can I just say the saddest thing about being in what's the year now, 2025, is that back in the day, before the internet, I could go for a roam around the, when it is Sydney, and I had Adyar Bookshop, which was literally owned and run by the Theosophists, but it was full of great and good books. Like they had all sorts of books, not just their, you know, closeted Satanist books and their, what's his name, Steiner, who's a very interesting character. That's another person you need to break down and talk about, Rudolf Steiner. And now, interestingly, on the street in Sydney, which is all these buildings are still there. I've taken photos of them. And it's a street near Chinatown. And we'll forget the name of it, but all of these books are Theosophist Societies. So 2GB was based there. That's the Giordano Bruno, the biggest information channel in Australia to this day, for AM radio, is 2GB, now owned by Channel 9. And GB was named after Giordano Bruno, who was the Theosophist's patron saint, or not patron saint, but he was their hero because he got burned at the stake or executed for his beliefs back in the day. Now, Steiner's shops are there, the Chinese embassy's there, the union, their buildings there, the Builders Workers Union. So they were all bought up back in the 1800s or 1900s. Up to probably 1920s when the Theosophists arrived, and they've kept them. They have not developed. These bookshops and shops are exactly the same as they were. So the Anthropomorphic Society shop is there, only two stories. Now, in Sydney, that's very rare to see a two-story building. But they've kept this for some reason in perpetuity and heritage. It has not changed. For those of you that haven't been to The winner is Sydney. I highly recommend going for a walk around the, and I'll give you the address later, but it's, was it, yeah, anyway, it's still there. And I walk through it quite often just to look at these buildings and go, how come they haven't developed these buildings? That's a bit suspicious. And when you read the history of Severance here, which is going to be in Scientology. When you think about the Theosophy movement, which, you know, we had Besson and Leadbeater, there's photos of them standing at the train station with, almost on the same platform that I get my train in and out of Sydney, on the same platform. And there they are standing there back in, was it 1800 something or other, or 1920. Cecil Leadbeater. Not the kind of person you want babysitting your children, folks. Not the kind of person you want babysitting your children. Cecil Leadbeater, and that wrote all those amazing books, and I've got an awful lot of them here. I can walk in right now and see those books. And plus, again, these Cosmic Voice pamphlets and magazines I found that are not from 19... Oh, this one, June, July 1959, Jesus Blesses His New Bible, one of the most important physical contacts ever made with space people. And this is, again, all tied in with, drum roll, the Aetherian Society, which is, again, tied in with where Blavatsky and everyone said it's the these people, their great white... gods or whatever come from the same area where up at God Almighty, I can't remember the name, but it's in past India, up at the tallest mountain in the world. That's where everything seems to be, and they seem to quietly brag about their leaders coming from. What is the name of it? Why can't I remember these things? Up there anyway, on top of India, the top of India, where all of the elites of India are still there, and they're very white. The what do they call themselves? The people that don't eat meat. The Indian elite. Sorry, I've had a complete mind. I'm just going to have to mute for a little bit because my brain, obviously, from the accident that I nearly had, and my mind. Why can't I remember the name of? I was going to say that Sir Edmund Hillary climbed. That's the area. And when you watch Doctor Strange, all the movies, have you ever seen the Marvel movies? No, I've seen them all of them, except for Captain Marvel, the female one. I refuse to see that. But all of Doctor Strange. So Doctor Strange apparently is close resemblance to John Whiteside Parsons that founded NASA. Looks exactly like him too, and it's been played by that Karen Bear Bendercatch or Bendicoot Combus Wobble, that actor. Apparently he's kind of got a kind of look about him that he meant to be John Whiteside Parsons, who founded NASA and was hanging out with L. Ron Hubbard doing weird sex ceremonies with Marjorie, what's her name? And that's another thing I can talk about. She's uncannily like the Sydney witch from the same era. They look like they could be sisters. And there was a witch, a famous witch of Sydney, who I've talked about before and done shows about. And Marjorie, what's her name, was having wild sex and was also in the intelligence agencies with John Parsons and at the same time with L. Ron Hubbard, old Mother Hubbard, Hubbard telescope joke. So why can't I remember the name of this Indian? Anyway, that's where they say, as far as the Madame Blavatsky says, their great white brotherhood all live up at those. That's where they're coming from. They're coming down from the Andes, fucking hell. One of those in India, top of India. Near where the Brahmin come from. There's definitely a there, 100%. And there's the Cosmic Voice, the Aetherian Society, talking about Jesus. Now, it's clearly not Jesus that they're talking about. They're talking about, this is, again, 59, before the whole UFOs, before the invaders started, before UFOs were all over the place. You know, around 1947, they did come out of the woodwork in Roswell. And we're talking about that on the, again, latest Bongversation 25. We talk about 1947 and the Bell Laboratories. Very interesting show, that is. Dave J did some good stuff on that, be told. Now I'm going to mute and I'll be back. I'll be back. This is what Mr. Schwarzenegger said. And I'm back. And while I've been talking about Tibet, that was Tibet that I couldn't remember. Tibet. There seems to be something about Tibet. And when you watch Doctor Strange movies, which I do recommend just for you to look at the amount of Tibetan symbolism and everything in those movies, and highly recommend. Not great movies, but it'd be great to go with a mushroom milkshake down you or some form of stimulant, because they're very full of weird psychedelic imagery. But a lot of there's in that movie. And I'm just going back to this book by Constance E. Cumby, who's still alive, I do believe. And I think Ed Opperman interviewed her not that long ago, a couple of years ago. I think she's still alive. Now, I've actually put little marks around some of these things. So I'll read what I've taken notes of when I was on the train probably years ago. Even though uneasy over some of the clientele, Alice Bailey noted the importance of their Ascona work, the plan, to the plan in italics. The work done in Ascona for 3 years had brought a number of people of different nationalities into the school, referring to the Lucis Arcana school. And those amongst, along with the others who had already joined the school through reading the books, had produced a nucleus in many countries in Europe on which they could build their future work. Now, they came into Sydney around 1926 or thereabouts, probably in the 1920s. You can research that, look in the history of the Theosophists in Australia. It is huge. They are really very much influential over here. And, you know, plenty of the Satanist exposers out there have reported that Australia is one of the high seats of it. There's so many Satanists in this country, and I don't doubt it. And I tell you where that base, Canberra, guaranteed. That place is definitely all set up in a pentagram, got a big black tower. It's in the middle of nowhere, like it's on a swamp, literally was. Alice Bailey perceptibly noted the academic philosophy orientation of these Eranos, that's E-R-A-N-O-S, conferences. As distasteful as it was to her, it probably was decreed on by the masters, and these are the masters from Tibet, to speed the progress of the plan, in quotation marks, by making it academically respectable. Many of the occult topics intellectualized and made respectable while the Eranos lectures were the Great Mother, I Ching, yoga, and number symbolism, which is Kabbalah. Just to give you that one. As James Webb observed, the Uranus conferences are a compendium of all the elements of the occult revival. Both Alice and Bailey, AAB, and Olga Freeby Catron showed missionary-like zeal to their cause. Alice Bailey gave freely of her time. Olga Captain, basically phonetically, sacrificed nearly all of her money, given all her ironclad dedication. It's not surprising that significant breakthroughs should have occurred, and the breakthroughs did come. For it was at Ascona that the primary task of making the occultism respectable through translating it back from the hocus pocus to academic scholarship occurred. And that is definitely your Theosophist schools and Steiner schools, etc., etc. More significant still was the fact that this happened simultaneously with the occult penetration of a political thought and the rise of Hitler. And that's true, that all the symbolism that you'll see through the the Nazi, this, their uniforms and the imagery and the symbolism, 100%. And the Thule Society, T-H-U-L-E, Thule Society. Carl Jung attains extreme prominence in both mental health and religion. Mircea Eliade, a former ashram resident, went on to dominate comparative religion scholarship. All of these and many more were important precursors to the shaping and forthcoming leadership of the new age. Now, interesting to hear, so you just don't get money to try build huge buildings and buy buildings and set up bookshops and radio stations, etc. The money came from Paul and Mary Mellon, the Mellon family, that incredibly rich, a family you don't hear amongst these days as much. But Mellon, a lot of the Beatles stuff that the Beatles did were recorded. They were using one of the Mellon's mansion in England. There's a tie-in with the Mellons and the Beatles. I kind of remember. They were Pittsburgh millionaires. As a near worshipper of Carl Jung, Mary Mellon. So there you go. Again, tie and say Carl Jung and this whole subconscious thing is getting fed for the takeover. It's all in this book. All in the book. Names everywhere. Oh my God. It's just fantastic. And so I can only read bits and pieces here, and sometimes I get ruined by people that turn up and like a Rollo. But I was talking about this last night, and I read more into it, but I'm not going to do it again. So highly recommend. Just get yourself a copy of a PDF of Planned Deception, Staging the World, New Age Messiah by Constance Cumby, and you're going to get some great information. Now, I also talked a little bit, and I'll go through a little bit before I go, Barry R. Smith, Warning. I've got all his books, and it's so funny they go, Warning, Another Warning, then Better Nostradamus, Final Warning, as he kept, being wrong with, his predictions. But so many people in New Zealand and Australia would have seen Barry R. Smith. He was a real Christian. I mean, he went round and he was... This isn't the days before conspiracy theory was kind of a, yes, there was the term, but the whole end of the world stuff, kind of, there was the late great planet Earth, but I don't know how Christian he actually was, because I think he was buying large amounts of property and quite wealthy. I don't think Barry Smith owned anything. I think he was a genuine, hardworking Christian evangelist. And my brother went to see him. He's now an atheist. And he still makes jokes about it, about imitating him. But I said to him, I've gone through these books, and he's actually right most of the time. He's just got the dates wrong. And he's right about the words he was picking up, totalitarianism, computers, the imagery on the dollar bill. He was the first one I've ever seen going on about that. And it's really interesting stuff. And so, again, Barry Smith, books, highly recommend them for those of you who are reading. Because forget about the internet, I'm not a big internet fan, as I keep going on about. I like nothing better than sitting in your nice sunroom, which I've got, and just flicking through and reading these books and seeing where they were wrong and right. Because most of it's giving you the information that's still valid right now, but you never make it a prediction that, it's going to be definitely 2020. I'm listening to Beer Tall.
No matter what you say.
You're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Great voice she's got, that woman. What a great voice she's got. She should be doing something. She should be doing her own little broadcast. Obviously, that's what Joelle was attracted to, the voice. The voice. And voices are important. They are very important. They're extremely important to me. Let me tell you, I cannot listen to certain voices. I cannot listen to it, especially at night time. I can do it during the day, but I just find them, it's not sleepable. Not sleepable. Alan Watt, fantastic for sleeping to. You win either way. He puts you to sleep, but if he doesn't put you to sleep, you'll actually get some good information. I can listen to even, what's his name? Tim Osman, pseudonym. There's something about that show, because he's saying so many interesting things. My body goes, you are going to shut down now. You're getting too many interesting things. And I'm going, please, I don't want to, and that puts me to sleep. So it actually works in its opposite way with the Tim Osman show. And I'm definitely happy that that thing he brought up about the Gollum and the phones, and we're breathing life into these things and speaking into them. I'm doing it right now. I'm doing it right now. But yeah, fantastic. Fantastic. Now, I'm probably going to wind it up now, actually. I've squashed enough information in there. We'll talk about Severance. So I've watched now everything you can possibly watch of Severance. It gets released every Friday. The second series is up to episode six, number six, this Friday. I'll look forward to watching that. I have not watched TV like that for many, many years. And my son was watching it, who's sadly gone off to Melbourne. He's now in Melbourne. Very proud of that little man, despite the fact he's 6'3". He's still my little man, and I was very upset when he actually left. I didn't realise that would happen. But it does. No one warns you about these things when you suddenly realise your son's not gone, but, you know, they're not that little person anymore. Just come inside, black cat, my black pussy, coming in the front door. So he's in Melbourne, and hopefully he'll do really well, whatever he decides to do. I'm going to have to go down there. Frank contacted me today and said, have you been there yet? And I said, no. When I go there, you'll be the first to find out. I'll be calling you up. Maybe not straight away, but I'll certainly make sure I catch up with Frank and Sean Critical Sinker, who's there. And perhaps we can even see the fakeologist's own Catholic. What is it? I think he's heading. He could actually become a part of the church, BV. One of the who also appeared on Chris Kendall's Hoax Busters call. Big credits from doing that. And very interesting character. He'd worked in propagation of plants and stuff like that, and he knows his stuff, and that was a really interesting conversation that he had on the Hoax Busters call a few years ago. So anyway, before I go, I'll talk about Severance. Now, Dave and I just did a breakdown of the first three episodes, and that's how long it took, just the three episodes. We did an hour and a half, I think, on Sunday. It's out there on YouTube and BitChute, down the chute. And I said that, why would they call it chute? It's like the memory hole is a chute, BitChute, Bitcoin, BitChute. There's a there, 1 billion trillion percent. But anyway, you've got to watch. Well, I don't say you've got to watch, but I've watched it, and I actually enjoy the show. I like the acting, and I picked up straight away, on a total exclusive as far as I'm concerned, Dave agreed, that there's a archetype of Seinfeld in there. Whether Seinfeld was an archetype of another show, I'm not sure. But when you look at the characters of the Helly, the red-headed, very sexy, I find, very sexy actress, whatever her name is, Mark S., which is Marks, and there's a Mark Beast. There's, you know, and they all have to have a chip drilled into the side of the back of their head. So they get, basically, the synopsis of it is that there's a company called Lumen that everyone, that's a very big corporation. When you work there, you take a thing called Severance, where you get a chip in the back of your head, and when you go through the lifts, which are always pointing down, so you're going down when you go into the Lumen building. There's a there. Listen to the Bonga Station episode 25. They completely shut off, and there's like Mark's eyes roll back in his head, you change into your work person persona, and you have an innie. The innie is your person at work, and your outie is the person that's completely different. You have no idea who you are. years. You work in this big corporation, and just the premise of it's there's Orwell in it, there's everything. But I picked Seinfeld just for the archetypical actors, and Dave picked up, which I had not noticed. So there's one, John Turturro's character is curly, wiry hair, looks a bit Kramerish. Jerry would definitely be Mark S. They don't look alike, but same kind of, you know, dynamic. Elaine would be definitely Hell, and there's a there with the name Hell, be told. And the other guy, though, is a guy, Dylan, and his surname. And I said, in my head, I said to my son, I said, it looks, it just reminds you of George Costanza, everything about him, the way his mouth, and he's always, he's funny and he says funny things, he's likable. He's like a black version of George. And guess what? Dylan's surname is George. And to top it off, you've got Jerry Stiller's son directing the thing. Ben Stiller is the director of the show. Now, it's too complicated to go into. Really, I've really watching the stuff. And just little things. Like, I was going, why would I like the show so much? Not, next thing you know, they're playing Motorhead Ace of Spades in one of the scenes. And that's like, I was at that band in 83 at the front of stage. One of my favourite songs of all time, Motorhead's Ace of Spades. They play that completely randomly in this show. Plus some great British 90s bands, the Manchester bands. I think Stone Roses get one of their songs. Napoleon Wilson, do yourself a favour if you're out there listening ever. I think you'd like the show, you'd be told. Now, apparently, so we shared it on, they've sent me a link, so you don't need to go to Apple TV. You can actually watch it online on archive.com. That's what he's shared it to me, and I did it, and it's on on the Rick and Rollo site, and it's on the truthmeets.com cross-promotion. There's a link there if you're on there. All right, now I'm going to go. Now, what song am I going to play to sign out? Now, last night I thought I want to have Bruce Springsteen's song that always reminds me of best shows, and I think it will go with that. Actually, we'll go with that. The Code of Silence. The Code of Silence. Code of Silence from Get Smart. Code of Silence by Bruce Springsteen. Great, one of his best songs as far as I'm concerned. There's a lot of theirs, and Alan used to play this in the early 2006 era when he was on RBN and doing shortwave. I love it, and it's a good song. I don't like Bruce Springsteen's politics, but I love his. He's a great songwriter. You've got to say that. So on this February the 17th, oh sorry, 18th, the 18th, number nine, I'll sign out. I feel a little bit better now that I've fucked it up yesterday, and maybe I'll let him back on again now. Some McCann, he hasn't ruined it. We'll see what happens. He's very quiet and sorry for himself today, though, after being quite abusive when I suggested he'd ruin my show. He said it, he didn't ruin the show, and I said, yes, you did. Oh, yes, you did. Anyway, thanks, guys. Be back next week and possibly Saturday night if I haven't forgiven Ryan. And hopefully we'll get some of those, particularly some of the guys that I want to talk to come in and talk on Saturday night and do a Saturday night conspiracy show. Perhaps I should get the golden skid mark back and beg him to come back. I'll get someone, be told. All right, thank you very much. And we're going to sign out with Code of Silence by Bruce Springsteen. See you guys. Bye. Now.
There's a code of silence that we don't dare speak. There's a wall between us and a river so deep. We keep pretending that there's nothing wrong. There's a code of silence and it can't go on.
Wow.